Welcome to the first official PC meeting. Some of you might have had a one-on-one or one-on-two talk already about expectations and stuff, but we will verify hopefully all of your questions today. And since we are all LARPers and everybody loves talking about themselves, we will do a short introduction round with your role on the game and maybe one fun fact about yourself. So we are super awkward on game when we see each other. It's all good vibes. Most of us know each other, but still. I'll start off. Hi, I'm Patrick. I will be the head organizer of this LARP. And a fun fact about myself is that I can fit an apple inside of my mouth. And then I would just go the call from the very top, which means Shay, if you want to join the introduction round, you can. If you don't feel up for it, that is also very fine.
My brain is very dead, so I'll just say, hi, I'm Shay, I'm running makeup, and I don't know anything else.
Cool. Thank you so much. Hey.
What, me?
Yeah,
Sorry.
it's you.
It did the thing where the first bit got cut off, so it just sounded like it. Hello, I am Faye. I will be the assistant organizer. I don't know. I do things at this lab. My fun fact is that I'm still very tired and brain dead from running this last week. So I need to switch from one silly summer camp to the other murderous summer camp. Bear with me.
Heidi.
That's me. I am Heidi. I am one of the sleeper NPCs in this. I'm playing the duckling. And a fun fact about me is I can fold my tongue and have it sick. There.
Wonderful. Nice. Kyle.
That's why we're here. Oh, have we lost Patrick?
No, he's still moving.
It says unstable connection for me.
Oh,
And I
maybe
can't hear
it's
him.
your
Oh.
connection.
Maybe.
Lucky.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Lucky. I'll be one of the sleeper NPCs for this game. And fun fact about me is that I am very easily distracted.
Cool. Last but not least, Lynx.
Yes, hi, I'm Lynx. I'll be an NPC. I have no idea what's going to happen, but yeah, that's why I'm here. And a fun fact about me is, I guess, that I have had the longest time to think about the fun fact, and I didn't come up with any. So, hi.
Okay. I have a bit of an agenda and I have just a big point at the end, which is questions. So if you have any questions to a specific topic I'm gonna cover in this meeting, please just ask a question. If it's something unrelated to the topic, I would like you for saving time and also keeping the structure and everything in order to just throw the question at me at the end or put it in the chatter chat so we can address it later. Good? Cool. Okay, so second point for today's meeting is what roles are you going to be playing and that all is implying. So we have three different kind of roles, which will be the main roles, little roles, and your idle roles. Your idle roles will be the NPCs in which you will spend a lot of time when nothing is happening. That can be hikers, that can be the people in the woods, that can be people that hang out at the cottage where the players are staying.
Or stuff.
Stuff, yeah.
Like the gardener or the...
Yes.
Stuff.
Most people don't necessarily have their own plot or crazy stuff that they have to do. They are mostly for you to socialize and set the mood for the game. Little roles will be mostly like mind control people that are goons to the big bad evil. And there's two very specific NPCs that are going to show up that are not major roles, just Georgie Brow and the Witness's sister. Those are two characters that will that are mentioned in a lot of the backstory. We also have people already talking about summoning ghosts and demons and shit. So basically all the little roles is things due to further play a game, but are not reoccurring or will most likely not be reoccurring. And then we have main roles. Main roles will be our four big bad evil things that will terrorize the players over the course of these days. That will be our three generals, we call them when me and Faye talk about them. That is a very, very classical axe murderer in a kind of hillbilly jumper kind of thing. Wailing woman, also very cliche, white clothes, torn up, cries, and if you come too close, she will rip you apart. And laughing killer, which we currently thinking about putting into a morph suit. You don't have to think about which of these roles you definitely want to play. As an NPC, if you have one where you go like, oh, I also have a costume for that, so I really want to play that, you're very welcome to put yourself forward and go like, oh, yes, I have an old wedding dress that is already fucked up, so I can play that, so Faye and Patrick don't have to spend over $100 for a fucking wedding dress. but yeah. And last but not least, our biggest creature is basically the personification of the darkness, which is the evil that lurks in these woods. It will be a costume that we will provide. Think a mixture of the monsters from the village and the Gargoyle King from Riverdale. So very big animal skull head, wings, and all around hopefully very scary. Any questions so far?
Not a question.
Thank you so much.
I don't have a question, but for a white dress, I have a white dress that got destroyed at Forever in a Day last year. So that is, I could always bring it.
I also have literal wedding dresses over here that might be able to be destroyed. That's all.
If we don't have to destroy something, I would rather go with Heidi's option.
We just have to see, because I remember the straps, that's what's broke, and so we might need to do some.
Hello, I am a costume designer / seamstress.
Yes, perfect.
Do you already have the morph suits, or do you still need those?
We don't have it yet. We have two that we would probably like to buy, and they're not very expensive.
I can bring them.
But if you have something, you can make a photo and just send it in the chat so we can.
We found some, like, there's some, like, creepy pasta kind of morph suits that we think might work well.
Yes. We have two full body black ones in the feeder storage.
we
we'll see
look
black
at
one
some
for...
that already have a print, but we can definitely have a look. Sure. Ah. Mouse is way too sensitive. Okay. But, if there are no more questions, I would go to the next point. Okay. Last mention to the idle NPCs, you're very welcome to just bring an outfit and be like, I will be the wacky gardener that takes care of the weeds and sweeps the floors, or I'll be the kitchen lady that for some reason always sharpens a knife in front of the shed. Be creative and think about what could do to like add a little bit to the mood as your NPC. Heidi.
As sleepers, should we bring extra costumes?
You don't have to. We still will bring some costume options. Obviously, if you have a really cool idea, you can also bring some stuff.
You will probably need an idle NPC at least for a few hours. If you want to move through the game space, because obviously depending on when you're dead and again dead, specifically for Heidi, when you're dead the second time, it might be helpful if you just want to have like dinner in the game space and stuff to still have an idle NPC.
Obviously, you're also very welcome to take a break if there's nothing else to do, if you don't want to go into an idle NPC. But we encourage you, obviously, to go into this game space and have fun and enjoy the LARP. Okay, so next point would be what to do during the day. I made this thing way too small, so now I have to, like, it large again. I can hate this mouse. I can't see your videos right now because the thing is full screen, so if you have anything to say, just say I have a question or something like that. Just scream. So what to do during daytime? During the day, our NPCs, like, we expect you to be ready for stuff that comes up, players coming with crazy requests, and in general add to the mood. By either making scenes more fucked up, making the gap between what is going on and how people are treating it broader to be even more unsettling, or by pointing out stuff that happens. Because sometimes some players just need a little nudge in the right direction of like, oh, did you hear this? Maybe we should investigate. So the other NPCs that are currently in costume and stalk around in the woods don't... I wanted to say freeze to death, but we're going to be in fucking summer. So don't sweat to death. You are sometimes expected to help in some of the classes. We are currently talking with the teachers, so we don't have a clear picture on what will be expected. But it's probably some kind of NPC that has to be there, or maybe just an assistant professor that then, I don't know, will be killed off by one of our other NPCs. You are expected to help change the scenery. What we mean by that is, some point in the game, all the posters, including the flag, bear the wonderful Goodwill Goats logo, will be changed to a creepy version that has satanic references and blood and is in general hopefully very creepy when players first spot it. So we need people for that. And also help set scenes up and tear them down. Have a bunch of stuff with like creepy tents in the woods, and obviously also classes will need set up and all of that. So sometimes you will just get a brown rope and we will ask you to carry stuff and bring it back after the scene is over.
Just for context, brown robes are basically brown blankets that we cut a hole in because it's from the Orchid Lab storage and is therefore called a wizardry knockoff. And the brown robes basically mean that you are invisible in the game world. You should not be talked to or referenced. And it's either for shadow GMing, so giving like magic effects or whatever, or just for walking around with electronics to set up special effects in the woods somewhere.
Thank you, Faye.
Any questions on that? Not hearing anything, so I guess no. cool. What to do during the night is our next point. We have many ideas on how to scare our players. Some of them are more reactive and dependent on what the players do. If they go out into the woods, if they search for something or somebody, he would like to give them something and not have them walk around the woods for an hour and don't find anything, because that might be cool for 10 minutes, 20, maybe even half an hour. But after that, if you don't find anything, it gets kind of boring. We would like to, if we see players leave for the forest, or if they say, hey, we're going to go into the forest looking for something, we will try to provide them some enrichment to their scenes.
On that note, Patrick, also for the day, we were thinking, we'll see how it fits in the story and stuff when we do more detailed planning and also during like what the player interest is on location. But we were thinking of having black box scenes where characters can basically go on little expeditions to different parts of the forest without having to actually walk 45 minutes. So somewhere closer, we're going to have one space that is the black box space. And there will probably, NPCs will be needed and they'll go there and it's actually like the gas station 3 kilometers away or whatever else the players might want to do will then be played in that space. And so there will be NPC needed depending on what the players do.
Basically, if people want to do scary shit during the day or just like scout and say, hey, we want to find a way out of these woods, we have an extra space where we can say, okay, give us half an hour to set something up. Then we will come to you guys and say, okay, this is our idea. Do you have anything to add, or do you want to just scare the shit out of some people? There's also some scripted events that are going to happen on every day. Those will be on a blackboard in the organizer room. You can always look them up. For most of them, we need all of you. So if there is like a big scripted scene, it's just all hands on deck. You're all there. If you have an idle NPC that is currently in a very, very big plot, we will still ask you that 10, 15 minutes before the big scene is happening, you find a creative way to get out of that scene and get ready for whatever is happening.
I have a question.
Yes.
I was just wondering how many of us are there. Like, is this all of us plus Sami, or are there more?
There is 4 normal NPCs and 3 sleeper NPCs. So for most of these scripted scenes and the black boxing and stuff, it's going to be 4 of you. And then the others can jump in when they're dead and are no longer needed as their sleeper NPC characters. And that when that is heavily depends on what character that is. But yeah, count on 4 for most of the things.
Shay also might jump in for some of the scenes if her makeup is not required, because a lot of the things might be a little bit more basic. So we have an additional NPC if we need it. Don't suspect players to swarm us with requests, but you never know. Can, if for hygienic reasons you want to bring it yourself, but we also will have makeup there.
We have like a base collection. If there's something specific you want for like your idle NPC or something, it's probably worth bringing. But when it comes to like basic makeup things, we do have those in storage.
So during the night, of course, you can add to the mood as your idle character by either pointing out creepy stuff that happens, being scared, in general, to like give players the incentive. Not everybody has to be a hero. Or if the players are particularly fond of your idle character, by dying. Any questions to that before I get to the next point?
I think you're good.
Okay. The next point will be accommodation. All that I'm saying now will also be posted in the NPC chatter channel, so you can read it up again. I don't think it is super, super interesting, but I would at least like to say it and tell you so you have a rough view of how things are going. We'll sleep, like me and Faye, in the organizer quarters in bunk beds. That doesn't count for our sleepers. Our sleepers will sleep in the same dorms as the players. We would like you to bring some bed sheets and a pillow. We have some blankets, but if you have a travel blanket, it would probably be smart to bring it. You can also just bring a sleeping bag that is more comfortable for you. But some of these things you just have to bring.
Basically, there is like bare mattresses on beds, and the location has some blankets, but there's obviously no real guarantee for where these blankets have been. So like if you're worried about the hygiene of these blankets, definitely bring your own and something to cover up the mattress. But yeah, there's bare mattresses and just blankets from the location.
Okay, question. Now you were talking about you two and the sleeper NPCs. What about the other NPCs?
Okay, so there is the building has two parts. There's the off-game building, which has two rooms with two beds. One of these will be Patrick and me, so we can also like debrief and discuss at night. The other one is forever whoever comes first from the crew. And then there is in the off-game room that will also be the office. There's two bunk beds, so four more beds. And then next to the kitchen is a room with one bunk bed, so two beds. That's where the crew will be sleeping. And the sleeper NPCs will obviously be sleeping with the players in the big player dorms.
So you, for example, Lynx, just sleep in the same rooms we are sleeping in. The only NPCs that sleep somewhere else are the sleepers.
Yeah, perfect. Got that. Thank you.
Then a short rundown on the 2 days before the LARP and the day after the LARP. Wednesday, the dinner on Wednesday will most likely be between 19 and 20 o'clock. I don't have a grasp on what it is going to be, but if you have all send us your allergies and fruit preferences, we will keep them in mind. On Wednesday, we will also do most of the setup and the decoration. We will do some briefings. We will do a little bit of socializing so we get to know each other. And maybe there is also going to be a little pre-party. On Thursday, so the major player arrival day, there's going to be breakfast between 9 and 10, lunch between 2 and 3, and dinner between 20 and 21. Dinner will be in-game. You can either have dinner as your idle character with the players together, or you can grab dinner before, eat in peace, get in your costume, and then join the game. Sleepers, obviously, will eat with the players, because at this point in time, all the players will think our sleepers are just normal players. On that note, if anybody had a question what sleeper NPCs are, they are basically our secret agents. All the players think ID, Enix, and Lucky are just normal players. They have a character sheet. They are socializing on the server. They are in the meetings. We, of course, have other plans.
Patrick, you confused the siblings. It's Sami, Lucky, and Heidi.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Fine, there's two of them.
Not Phoenix.
Wrong brother.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, on Thursday we will also do check-in. Me and Faye will handle the check-in, so you have, if we still have to do some setup or some final touch-ups, we'll probably just tell you if there is something to do, and otherwise you're obviously super welcome to hang out with your friends, get into costume, or just take a breather and maybe take a walk in the forest, because it is very beautiful. So, next thing.
I have a question, actually.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What time was dinner on the day of the LARP again?
Between 8 and 9.
Okay.
Like a bit of a late dinner, because, you know, it's game start, so.
Yeah.
Because our games will start at 11 o'clock, since we are gonna play pretty long into the night, since most of the stuff happens after sundown, so players can sleep in, they can, will be snacks and coffee from 8 to 10, and there will be breakfast in game from 11 to 12. Any other questions? Can't see you, so.
No, okay. I think you're good.
Okay. On Sunday, the last day, obviously on Saturday, we are going to have a pre-party. We want all of our NPCs and sleepers and the kitchen crew and everybody to join the pre-party and have fun if they still want to. You're obviously not required to. You can drink, you can have fun, we don't care, you are adults. The only thing we would ask of you is that you keep in mind that you have to stand up at a somewhat reasonable time, because if we are unlucky, the location needs to be clean by 10 o'clock.
So as someone who's had to deal with this location twice, we're saying 10 o'clock because it can change pretty quickly, but it will not be before 10. So the first time they told us we have to be out by 10 on the arrival day. Last time, last week, they were like, oh, if you're out by like 1 or 2, that's fine. And then they showed up at like 11 and were like, whoops, the next group is coming sooner, so please just be out ASAP. We would like the majority of things to be done by 10. So we are hoping that we'll be able to do takedown before the after party starts, at least a majority of it, so that it's then mainly sorting the off-game room and like sweeping the rooms and stuff. And last takedown. So there hopefully shouldn't be that much work Sunday morning.
Question, are players also, like, I guess, I mean, they're obviously also staying until Sunday morning, are they required to leave at a certain time before we leave, or like, how is that supposed to be?
So depending on when the location tells us we need to be out, that means out and swept, right? So all the things out, all the luggage out, all the people out, and giving it one sweep. They can then hang out, usually on location grounds, like outside on the terrace, until a couple hours later while the location does the deep cleaning inside. And that goes for us and the players at the same time. Usually, if we need a little bit longer, the location is fine starting the deep clean in the game building and leaving, giving us another hour or so. But generally, it means location empty and swept, but we can hang outside.
Probably ask players to leave the location latest around
one,
yeah. Yeah, that was me.
I think Heidi has a thing.
Yeah, I have a question. I think my flight from Hamburg is at like 3 p.m. So I think I have to be in at the airport by like 1. So I don't know how long it takes to get there. I should probably talk with Vera, but is it okay if I leave possibly a little bit early? Okay.
Is absolutely fine. If you have to catch a flight, you have to catch a flight.
It's also like it will very quick, in my experience running in this location, the actual takedown of the location will be pretty quick, and then it's basically sorting the off-game room, which honestly not more than two or three people can do anyway. So if you have to leave for travel reasons, that's fine. We'll just try to do the bulk of the work beforehand, and then we'll manage from there.
Perfect.
Should I feel like, Patrick, are you done with your points?
It was, well, now it's like if you have any other questions.
I would maybe give like a quick overview of what the game's gonna look like,
Yeah,
just so
please.
people have an idea what our general plan is. Basically, the reason the lab is called the Trip is because it's a double meaning. So on the first night, there's going to be like a welcome party sort of situation where the punch is going to be spiked with some sort of in-game drug, leading to the players to hallucinate things. So there will be the first weird couple of things happening. But the next morning, everything is back to normal. And it's this whole question of did we imagine it or did this actually happen? Small strange things will happen during the day, but it will seem relatively normal. Then on the second night, things escalate to quite a scary degree. The big monster will show up for the first time, scare the shit out of everyone. More people will die from the sleeper NPC squad. And then it's kind of the same on the third day, though obviously at this point it's hard to imagine that none of this is real. So it's just like this slow escalation. They'll figure out more of what's going on. And then by like the afternoon, we're gonna start killing off players. And as the evening progresses, it will at some point become a free for all, where we're just gonna try to kill as many players as we can get our hand on. At the same time, we are hoping to get them to plan the big escape. So there's going to be a car parked in the woods that they need to find out the location of the. They need first need to find out that the car exists. Then they need to find the location. They need to find a key, and they need to find petrol, for the car. And then there's like a big chase in the end where the last survivors go to the car as they're being chased down by all the like reanimated bodies that have been turned into a hive mind, so all the players also get to become monsters on the last night. And they'll get or get not into the car. We're hoping that there's going to be like 10 people still making it to the car and then realize that not all 10 of them fit into the car. That's going to be fun. And then depending on if they took the gas or not, there will be two separate epilogues. Because they might get into the car, not have the petrol, and still all die. And then the lab is over. So it's just basically the creepy is going to escalate, the supernatural is going to escalate, their investigations are going to become more and more successful as they find more hints and more weird shit starts happening. And on top of that, all the characters have a lot of interpersonal drama and trauma to deal with, and it's going to be dark and fucked up.
Okay, so did I catch that right, that everyone who dies is basically reanimated into the hive mind creeper kind of situation? Okay.
Yeah,
It
at least
depends
on
on
the last one.
which boy and at which point they die, but basically, if they die after the second day, they will come back as part of the hive mind, and that will work in sort of a like think of a zombie progression of things getting worse, but a little bit more mental. So they have part of themselves in the beginning when they die and get resurrected, so they can still hold a conversation, they still know people, but as the day progresses, they lose more and more of themselves and more controlled by the hive mind until the hive mind says, okay, I had my fun. This was 2.5 really funny days. Now I want to eat you all. And basically snips a finger, and everybody gets like, okay, I'm going to now kill my friends.
And on that, like, basically to introduce the idea of people coming back and being hive-minded, we have Heidi, who is the ugly duckling who will die on the first night, but then just be there for breakfast like nothing happened, but be reformed into the pretty swan, and be all cool and sexy suddenly. But when Heidi is alone with a player or two, there will be some off moments where Heidi seems a little bit weird. And so they have a chance to figure this out before they all start getting absorbed.
Yes, absolutely.
It's almost like we're using 80s horror cliches.
if Heidi gets the chance, we very much want Heidi to be like, oh, I really want to go into the woods with you and just take a player and then just shift them behind a tree.
Oh my god, I would die playing this, but I love NPCing it. Cool.
One other thing, because we mentioned the ending scene, please, if you forget anything or everything, please don't forget a light. Bring a flashlight. We will provide. I'm not sure if we come to terms on the exact solution or how we are gonna do it, but we will give you either means to turn your flashlight red, or we will provide you with a red flashlight. This is our death mechanic. So if you kill people, you don't have to touch them, either because you are uncomfortable or they are uncomfortable.
And because it's dark and dangerous in the woods.
Also that. And basically, if they stand a couple of seconds in this red light, like in the beacon of the red light, they will be instructed in the workshops. Then you just play out your desired death scene. So we will just ask you as NPCs to like act accordingly and just make a cool scene with the determined outcome. Whatever they do, they might, I don't know, fire a gun into your fucking head. You will not. That will not kill you. They will still die. You will still kill them. There is no escaping.
And it means you don't have to physically chase people down. And it also means, depending on what lights we can find, we're hoping to have like some lights also for the zombie army. They might not be as bright, but then they will just be like more and more red lights popping up during the final chase. And like, if you look at it basically for too long, you're dead.
Yeah, we just want the forest to be engulfed in red spots that slowly encroach on the players and the car. We also have big light beacon thingies that I don't know the English word for now.
Floodlights.
Yeah, floodlights. They can also change colors. And on the second day, during the big boss show up, it will just turn red. So all the players that don't run into the house are for the taking. Kill them.
This is also, just to share more really exciting things, this is also when one of you will take Lucky and smash them against the window of the dining hall where all the players are locked up in with a reusable water balloon, one of these guys. They're magnetic water balloons. So we're going to fill them with red, with fake blood, stuff it under a beanie, and then you're going to smash Lucky's head against the window. It will explode and there will be blood everywhere. And this is how Lucky will die.
You drag Lucky into the
So that's like all the details and stuff and what happens throughout the day. We'll have briefings every morning to like assign roles that we already know are going to be coming up and like talking about the scheduled events through the day and stuff. So you definitely don't need to remember the whole schedule. We make sure that everyone knows who they need to be at what time and where. You will be briefed.
Thank you.
I think it depends. Sorry, Patrick, did you wanna or can I? Okay. It definitely depends on how far we are in the game. We wanna try and keep most of the players alive until the later afternoon on Saturday. So, like, especially on the first night, if you're in there as the generals, don't kill anyone because they're gonna have a bit of a shit game if they're out after 4 hours. Then you just scare them. Once we reach the final chase and stuff, kind of, you know, make your own decisions. I think I would say the later in the game, the more bloodthirsty you become to actually kill them. And the earlier, the more you just want to play with them. But if you can tell that the scene you're in right now wouldn't benefit from the character dying, and it would be cooler if they run back to their friends or something, then also feel free to just scare them. Generally, that's mostly up for you, up to you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have we mentioned yet how the tripping happens and the spiking of the punch?
Yeah, I think that's also Lucky, right? I think that's also
me.
You.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking.
So we're going to have two different kinds of food coloring. And we're going to have a blue that we're just going to put in the punch to make it look not like water. It will just be blue colored water. And then we're going to have gold luster as the drugs, so also the Glee Club is going to get little like baggies of gold powder that they can sell and use in game as a drug. And basically we are going to have you get some of the other guys from Glee and stuff to dunk a good load of that into the bowl. And like as we swish it around, it will become pretty obvious that that's been spiked. And if people don't catch on to it, we're going to also run around as shadow GMs and, like, give them specific effects to also be able to escalate it further if the players don't take it far enough.
At any point, like, don't know if you want to be an idle NPC or if you don't feel comfortable stalking alone or in pairs in the woods or physically not able, I can also very well imagine one of you or two of you just putting on brown or black robes and going up to players and whispering very terrible things into their ears, because that truck trip is not going to be a fun one. First, we want them to be really like, oh my god, this party is amazing. Oh my god, Chad just looked at me. And as the evening progresses, we want him to be like, kind of have the feeling somebody's watching me. I don't want to go to the toilet alone because, I don't know, something in me tells me I shouldn't be alone anywhere. And that all should end in Heidi's blood-curling scream and then them finding half of Heidi's outfit bloody on the floor. We'll see what the teachers do. They will probably say, okay, guys, we will go to bed. But they will say, Heidi probably just lost her way in the woods and ripped her clothes on a thorn bush. That is a very reasonable explanation.
We also, like, in the beginning, I think we want to hold our cards a little closer to the chest, so we're not going to have the generals show up at the house. We're going to be using speakers and stuff to make creepy noises in the woods, maybe lure people to investigate and then have a general there. But it's mainly going to be just creepy things rather than having three monsters on a silver platter, right? Like, we really want to escalate this slowly so that it has more effect on the second night when the generals are just there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the
big three, basically. The big three monsters that are a kind of supernatural. So we have a wailing woman, axe murderer, and like the guy in the morph suit that we currently call Laughing Killer. Yeah,
and then we call them. We call them the general because we have like we have the big boss and then the like slightly lower and then the minions, right? So it's like the army. So we have the big boss, the his generals, and then all the little soldiers, soldiers on base. Cool. Any questions now that I have talked for a while?
Yes. I was wondering in general if we should expect our clothes that we bring to be, I don't know, stained with fake blood afterwards or ripped or whatever. Or is that something that only happens with specific stuff that we actually sign up for destroying?
Since you have the privilege of knowing what happens behind the scenes, you will also know when fake blood is involved. So if you have a costume that's cool to be drenched in blood and then another that shouldn't, we can make sure that we keep those things separate. We also need to be careful with the fake blood anyway because of the location and stuff. So blood is going to be used precisely and sparingly and not drench the whole lab in blood because then we're going to have a whole lot of other issues.
Right, okay, I get it. Thanks.
We have one box of just store-bought theater blood. I don't know, Shay, I think, said something about making a huge bucket of other blood. What are you doing for that?
So there's two types that I can make, which is what we call the squirt blood, which is the stuff that you drench and it's like water. And the other one is the sugary one. However, that one I would use sparingly. It is also, I have a collection of fake blood for a variety of uses and FX purposes, as in like what kind of blood. So I will be bringing that as well. Anything from scab blood to capsule blood, fresh blood, artery, like from artery or well, variety of that shit that I can all bring. So, but yeah. Some will stain more than others. So I will inform peoples of what to use when and how.
Thank you.
Obviously, if for some reason we need a giant sacrificial blood orgy in the woods, it would be beneficial if you have an outfit that can be drenched in blood. I'm not saying this will definitely happen. I'm just saying people come up with weird shit.
Cool.
Any more questions?
Yes, I assume that after dying on the second night, I just joined the NPC crew with whatever the fuck the NPC is.
Yeah. Cool. Generally, other than Heidi, when you die as a sleeper, you will just be pulled out. We might send you back in as your character, but we will then discuss that first and see where the game is at that point and stuff. But at that point, you don't need to keep it a secret anymore. We're going to see how much Heidi can keep it a secret after she dies the first night. But for the rest of you, once you're dead, your cover has been blown.
Can very well react to people being like, oh, lucky you were an NPC all along!
Oops.
Before that, we would like to prolong it as much as possible.
Cool.
Another question. Will we now also talk about, like, who's going to play the generals, or will that be decided on the...
Since we only have two of you here, I wouldn't cast it now. If we want to do it before, I'd say we can do it maybe over text, so we can make sure all four people know what's going on. Or we can just do it on location.
Yeah, I think it would just help me to figure, you know, to think my way into it, because that's just one of the main anxieties I have, that I'm, you know, going to be there and then just know then what I'm going to do and then fuck it up because I don't know how to play it. So I don't really care which one or if I'm playing one of them, but knowing that before would really help me.
I mean, if there is one of them where you say, I would love to play that, you're very welcome to say, hey, I want to be an ex-murderer, or You want to play?
I mean, it's just for me. It's just for me that I'm not a horror person, which is weird, going on a horror LARP and stuff. But knowing something before helps me, so I can also, you know, look up stuff and maybe watch a sequence of a certain film that helps me to feel into characters.
How about we just in the next couple of days we facilitate kind of casting those over text in the chat, sure, and make sure everyone gets a role they're cool with.
If nobody puts their name for anything, we will just randomly assign you.
I'm gonna go pee real quick. But you keep going on.
Any more questions? Excuse me, what? Can you repeat that? That depends also on how many people are dying. Because if we have a bunch of people dying the second day, which we don't suspect, because I guess most of them will want to play the last day in full. If we have a huge crowd of players that some reason dies and then goes like, oh, shit, I really want to continue playing the game. Maybe we send some of them in as latecomers and people that couldn't keep up with the main group, and then some of the players might re-enter as random student character that rejoins, and maybe one or two of our NPCs will also then be students that are there as probably sacrificial lambs to set the mood for the newcomers. Anything that isn't your idol character, you don't necessarily have to bring a costume for. If you have cool stuff, we are obviously super happy to like have more stuff that we can lend out to people and combine into new costumes. Everything you bring to the lab will also get a name tag from us, so it doesn't end up in our fundus. But most important thing for costume wise is that you have your costume for your idol character, be that.
And, those costumes, I think, can, like, if you have something that really, like, amps up the 80s mood, that's cool. But as long as they're, like, neutral enough to where they don't look like you just did an Instagram photo shoot in 2023, they'll work, right? Like, as long as they're neutral or 80s, they'll be perfect. It doesn't need to be super specific for what your idol NPC is or anything, as long as they like blend into the setting.
Exactly. If you have like short cargo shorts and a weird reindeer pullover from the 90s and wacky glasses and a hat and a backpack, you can also come there as a weird hiker that lost their way and is now just taking a chill pill at the cottage. You can have a couple. Basically, those are the characters you have when there's nothing else to do. Because there might be time slots where for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you don't have anything to do. Like, there's no scene requests, there's currently no classes, there's nothing to set up, and we want to give you the chance to not just sit around twiddling your thumbs, but also do something, so you can basically come up with a character that fits the mood and the premise, and just join the game as them, and then soon as there's stuff to do, you just find a reason to fuck off.
It's basically a character, like, to make it precise, it's a character that allows you to exist in the game space and traverse the game space without having to put on a brown robe. So it's that you can just grab dinner, or you can just walk around and have a look, or you can talk to, like, how much or how little you want to do, but it just allows you to exist in the world without disrupting the game. I think Lynx has a...
Yeah, should those idle characters also be a bit creepy or weird or off-putting, or can they also just be like jolly characters on the side? Okay.
You can also be a very, very lovely grandma that just goes that exact hiking way for the last 45 years every day and never had a weird occurrence, and you can hand out cookies to players and be like, oh, nothing bad ever happened in these woods to me. And then after talking to them for 2 hours that they should not be afraid and maybe do a little less drugs because you can smell the pot on them, but you are not going to tell the police, you're not going to be dead grandma, you have like children yourself, and you know, sometimes you have to be wild, and then just go. And nothing scary happens.
I love that. Okay, thanks.
They're like Lynx, basically, they are, for you, you've seen this at Midsummer as well. Just those kind, I mean, you had a specific role, but a lot of us were just there.
That's
kind of what it is. It's Bratwurst.
Yeah, no, cool. I was just wondering if they were supposed to have, like, a certain vibe, but yeah, cool.
If you come up with a super creepy one, you can also play something very, very creepy, but you don't have to.
It's also, if you're not creepy, you can then react to the creepy things, right? And, like, point players towards there is something creepy. So whatever character you choose will be able to add to the game in small ways. You can also just play yourself. Like, you know, it doesn't need to be anything crazy.
Yeah, worst case. I see, thanks.
Oh. I think the last thing, because we talked a lot about the NPC roles, obviously you don't have to always jump into your idle character. It is a very hard lab we're playing on. A lot of very, very happy topics, and we expect some scenes to be really intense. So if you say after those scenes, okay, I just need to sit down for 5 minutes, half an hour, or I have to take a nap, it is super fine. Please just tell us beforehand that you're going to be out for a while, so we can adjust and we don't go around looking for you and wonder where you are. Obviously, you are also at all times very welcome to talk to our Emsa person. For those people that were on Midsummer Disco, it will be Stefka, which was the NPC coordinator. She's super lovely. She's very nice to talk to. And she will always be there for you unless she is currently sleeping.
Or dealing with a player.
Yeah.
Before you. Also, just because I can't remember if we said it or if it's written down anywhere yet, also bring like a basic black t-shirt and black like trousers, because a lot of our costumes are just going to be like a jacket to put over or something. We don't have like a bunch of trousers. So to have something like neutral to put underneath the other costumes, that will be super helpful.
Will there also be a photographer?
Yes. It will be Felix, who has magically actually made it to the Discord yesterday. As miracles do happen. Felix is a professional photographer who does a lot of like club and drag and stuff photography. So he is hopefully going to be able to take some photos, at least in somewhat dark settings. And he also, I think, as far as I understand, is going to have like an idle NPC who's like a photography kid. But he's not going to be playing a lot, but he might also jump in.
I might also extend the offer here, as I already did it in text chat. A few days before the game, I have access again to the feeder storage. So if there is a very specific costume piece that you need, that you might only want for this LARP, ask, because there, we might just have it laying around and then you don't have to buy something.
Do you have giant, creepy Gargoyle King wings?
No.
Do you have a ginormous skull animal mask thing?
That one I can check, but I can only confirm a few days before the LARP.
About the wings, I might be able to sort some stuff because I am literally going to a prop maker's house before the event and spending a week and a half crafting there. I can ask if that is something that I can do with Yura. It's all up to materials, but if you need big wings, I know a guy.
That would be cool. I have some ideas on how to make it. Okay. So we could chat about that, and we could also definitely like then supply the funds for the materials. Let's have a chat about that.
Yeah. Also, on that subject, Yoga also has a 3D printer available. So, yeah. I am blackmailing him into doing shit for me too, so.
Perfect. While we're on the topics of props, if anyone knows where to source a lot of creepy doll heads, let us know. That's the one thing I'm currently not sure where and how to get. We're gonna, like, scout all of our antique shops and stuff, but we basically, there's one scene where we want to cover the trees, like have doll heads hanging from the trees and stuff. So if you can get your hands on any of those or know where to potentially order some, let us know.
I'll check the workshop when I've access to the feeder again. I think that we have a box there with them, but I'm not sure.
Because those are expensive.
Yes.
I am going into the city on Sunday. I might be able to pop by a fuck ton of thrift stores. And in worst case scenario, I can also ask one of my neighbors, who also has a 3D printer and a fuck ton of files, and I can ask Yura for some files as well to have them printing, because those should take, like, for that printer with my neighbors, 2 hours most per piece.
Because what we've found so far is like full antique dolls that we would have to rip their heads off, which is first of all a little sad, and second of all, a whole doll does cost like a tenner each, and yeah. If we want to have like 20, 30 doll heads, that's a lot to just spend on one scene setting, so we'll try to find cheaper methods.
What is the budget for the scene? What would your budget be for the scene?
As little as possible.
I know, but that doesn't give me a number.
We're going to make the shopping list in the next few days, hopefully. And then we'll know more how much budget we have for it. Because right now we don't really know. We know how much budget theoretically we have for like props and costumes in total. But we need a better overview to see how that's going to be split up between things. Cool. Anything else?
I might have a question for Shay, actually.
Yeah.
Is your car already tightly packed with people?
I am traveling from Frankfurt, so.
Ah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I am going straight from the crafting peoples to Humber, and then from there I'll see.
That's fair.
But you can ask Kim Lucky.
That is very fair.
Kim, yes. Or Yelmer. He's also on the server.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the players, and he also comes from the Netherlands.
It's also a rebel.
Yeah. So those two might be a good bet to try to get in.
Yep.
Then, if there's nothing else, I'll go back to my new graphics card.
Hey! Nice.
One last question. I can probably also look that up, but you can probably tell me quicker. When should we be there on the 23rd? Latest.
Is that the Wednesday or the Thursday?
That's the Wednesday.
Best, I'd say around like 3, but we will also manage if people can't make it. Like for summer camp, there were some people who showed up right before workshops and we still managed somehow. If you can be there by 3, right, Patrick? That seems like a good time. Yeah.
Depending on
I mean, I'll be able to be there early. Like, I just need to know, like, when would you like me slash us to be there?
We'll probably be there from 10, I would imagine.
Okay.
And then the location people will still be there, so maybe give us, like, half an hour to an hour to deal with those guys.
Sure.
Depending on...
Yeah.
For players.
We don't want to have to like host while we're in like the stress of figuring everything out.
You're very welcome to arrive earlier. Please keep in mind there will probably not be food until dinner. Is a McDonald's, however, really close by, and there's also a ginormous Rewe and Lidl where you can just buy stuff.
Perfect.
Have most of the kitchen utensils you can think of. So if you just buy yourself a ready-made frozen pizza, you can also pop that into the oven if you need to have lunch and can't buy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the Wednesday. On Thursday is whenever.
I assume that for sleeper NPCs, you want us to arrive around player time, or do you want us to still arrive sooner?
You can arrive a little bit earlier, since we are friends with all our sleepers. If people ask questions, you just tell them, oh yeah, I'm friends with the organizers, I was here a little bit earlier because I arrived with them. Don't think they will go on this big conspiracy theory of going like, oh, what does this mean?
You never know.
Or, sorry, go on, Lucky.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just wondering, are there a lot of players showing up on the Wednesday? Or is it only generally-ish?
Do you have the sheet open, Patrick?
I don't have the sheet open, but I know from, like, extensively looking at it, there's at least going to be 5 to 10 people arriving on Wednesday.
Okay, so then how do you want the sleepers to like help out with things or discreetly, like, I don't know, talk to you?
We're also going to ask players that if they are up to help, they can help. Like, we're not going to tell our players, oh no, you can't hang up decorations. So,
and I think because it's going to be difficult to have an inconspicuous meeting with 3 players in the organizer room. It might be worth for the 3 of you to have a final briefing with us closer to the game, so we can tell you more about when we need you to die and how and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can avoid a big briefing, and then, I mean, little check-ins in the secret smoking area or something will still be fine. But then we don't need you to be in a meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Also, especially since we are starting the game later, in the mornings you can always just pass by, and if you need something or if we need something from you, you can just have a little chat and be like, okay, this is what we envision for today, or is there anything you can tell us how the game is currently going for you? Do we need to adjust stuff?
Yeah, that sounds good. And then, like, how late does the game run to every day? Because we're starting late and then we're going late, but just to, I don't remember what time is like a soft off, if there's a soft off.
Basically, the soft timeout on the first and second day are the 2 big events, which will most likely both happen around like 11 to 12, depending on how game develops, which will be your death and the big swarming of the cabin on the second day. Obviously, players are welcome to play afterwards, but we will tell them that if they now go out in the woods, there might not be anything. Obviously, if you guys are up to, and our whole NPC squad goes like, no, I want to kill someone, then we won't say no to you putting on a costume and stalk players in the woods and scare them back to the cottage. But if you, after the soft timeout, say, okay, I have to be up, it was a long day, I did a lot of stuff, my muscles ache, can also just afterwards go to sleep.
I think, just to be on the safe side with delays and how things go, NPCs are probably off duty after one, I'd say, just to be sure. Most likely a little earlier, but I think after one, we're good with our scenes. Well, the first, and then the second day, the game ends at 11-ish. And then after that, it's off for everyone. Links, yes.
Thanks. I was wondering, did I read something about helping out in the kitchen, or did I mix that up with Midsummer?
Do you want to say that, Faye, or should I? You just...
I can say that. So... the thing with the kitchen is that there is no dishwasher. We're 50 people and there's no dishwasher. That's the main thing. And then obviously things need to be cut. I don't think we've fully decided on a system, but we are planning on making the players do that. This has worked very well for the first two times I ran a lab at that location. And players are very willing to spend half an hour doing some dishes. So most likely... Like, obviously depends on what's going on in the kitchen. We might have to jump in if there's dire need. But for the, like, regularly scheduled shifts, it's going to be the players in there.
So if we need, for some reason, Molly, our cook, needs help, we might ask one of you to help cutting stuff. For those people who were at Midsummer Disco, no, there will be no two-hour cutting sessions for potatoes. That is not going to happen. So, but even there, we might, if it's just like peeling stuff or putting things onto skewers, or we haven't had our talk with the cook yet, so we don't know exactly what the menu is going to be. But depending on what it's going to be, we also will try to find one or two players to help us out there. Kitchen will be in-game. We don't want people to run around there. Obviously, the moment you're holding a sharp object, there is going to be no game for you other than talking and concentrating on your work. But while doing the dishes, I made summer camp this weekend, and I think that was one of my most funny scenes, just five frat boys in the kitchen speaking very bad 80s gangster lingo, not 80s, like 2YK gangster lingo, and having a party to 2000s hits, like, every time we touch, and just doing the dishes. It was fucking amazing.
Kitchen time is also a great time for spreading rumors and gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I had another question and now my brain... Ah, yes, rooms. So I know the NPC and Orga room is off game. Is the player room in game? Are you going to be kidnapping players, or is that off game?
The sleeping quarters are off game.
Okay. Cool.
We had a chat about that, but we don't want to interrupt people in their sleep. Players have the option of sleeping in a tent, either in-game or off-game. On where they are going to be located, we are not sure yet. There's also still the fact of maybe nobody wants to sleep in-game, which is totally valid. And there just might be some shenanigans where we mess with their tent or we use the creepy doll heads to surround their tent in the middle of the night and draw blood circles around it, or weird Blair Witch Project stick figures. If they are up for it and they say, oh yeah, you can totally open my tent door, they might come back after a long game of playing and just find weird shit in their tent. So yeah, it's really up to the players. As for now, there's going to be, I think, 3 people sleeping in tents, but they're all going to be off game. So now I haven't heard anything, but if we get people that want to do that, we just can have a brainstorm session together what we are going to do to these poor souls.
It's also when it comes to the dorms, I mean, Heidi, you've seen them. The space in there is so limited, and it's going to be all cluttered up with luggage, that like are playing up there. Like for Northcott, it was meant to be in game. You can tell me how much game happened up in those dorms.
Absolutely none.
Exactly.
None.
So, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Oh. Anything else?
Yeah. So there's 39, including the sleeper NPCs. And then 10 crew. So the location holds 49 people. It's a good group. Good size of group.
Mm-hmm. Very dividable.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. I guess there are no more questions. This concludes our first official meeting. Thank you for coming here. I am so fucking excited. You have no idea, especially if our sleepers give us little snippets of the meetings, because we put a lot of work into it. Yeah.
If you come up with any other questions later, you can always pop them in the chat. The crew chat we will keep an eye on. All the player chats I cannot keep up with, but the crew chat I will also keep an eye on.
I'm posting my notes from the meeting now.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Also, I haven't edited it or anything, but yeah, there's 5 pages.
That is fun.
Can you pin them or something so it's easier to find them again? That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
All right.
Also, thank you so much, Faye and Patrick, for doing this. That was really helpful.
Thank you for attending and being there and helping us out.
Thank you all for being awesome.
So Heidi, fish mask you posted is the exact
I know.
Fish mask.
I know. I know. I saw it and I was like, oh my god, I have to.
It's giving me nightmares.
See, it's perfect.
It's true.
It's giving me Andrew being licked on the nose.
Yeah. I'm gonna hop a skadoodle.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone. Kyle, go to bed.
Yes. Yeah.